for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, May the 29th, 2004. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jim Landry of Beaumont, Texas, is the minister on this.
Praise the Lord. Good evening. We are blessed again to be here tonight and hear about the great salvation of our Lord. I've met so many friends here in the last couple of days. It's going to be very difficult for me to leave. Some of you I've spoken with several times trying to get your names down, where you're from. And I just don't know how I'm going to have, but I guess we can all be able to connect without any hindrance when we're in heaven. Yes. I didn't know Glenn was going to, Pastor Glenn, Brother Glenn was going to have me say anything about the Kwanzaa deception. I was doing some research on another deity for about 12 years, which is now at the publishers in Impact Publishing. And as a result of doing that research, I accidentally happened upon the Kwanzaa celebration. And I found out that it was something that, by request, it could be entered into the school districts. And many of the Afro-American families are introducing Kwanzaa to our independent school districts, or in our area's independent school district. And to us, it doesn't mean much unless you have a real good contact with your grandchildren. And I have a real close relationship with my grandchildren. Very, very close. And so in their schools, they have a number of programs each year, particularly around Thanksgiving and the Christmas time. And most of you know that there is several different types of cultures and ethnic group celebrations that are being permitted and in the school systems, and one of them is called Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa was created by Dr. Maransgo in 1966. It came out of the Black Liberation Movement. Most of the material in the Kwanzaa doctrine comes from teachings from Malcolm X and other radicals. Of course, it doesn't say anything about that in the material that's given to the school district. The Kwanzaa celebration is supposed to be a communion celebration to reaffirm and reinforce bonds between African descendants. So it's that same old worshiping necromancy of the ancestors. So your little children, your little grandchildren, some of your great children are being paraded down the hall on the holiday. They go to this culture group program. They have an hour in this culture group program, and they go to this culture group program. And most of us never hear about it because we never talk to our grandchildren about what's going on in school. So I not only included the Kwanzaa, and it's, no one else, if you go on the Internet or any bookstore, no one else has anything to say about Kwanzaa but Kwanzaa. So this is the first material that's been ever written against Kwanzaa. And it's copyrighted, but it's okay to reprint. And it also includes deliverance prayer, so you could pray over your children and cast out the appropriate spirits, because Kwanzaa has nothing to do with Africa. It is all American and Pan-American, and the Africans that I know in Africa have never heard of it because it was created here in America. And the only way it got to Africa is because Maransgo went to Africa and told a couple of his friends. So I really think for ministers, it'd be a good tool to have in your library, because the churches are growing at such a fast pace. Many are running for deliverance. And you never know when you're going to run across somebody who says, like one of the girls at our assembly told me that when she was in high school, when she was dancing, what we call dancing in the spirit, I don't know the name of it. Well, it's a wonderful dance when we praise dance. Okay, well, she was praise dancing, and she told me, Brother Landry, when I praise dance in school, I did it because I got it from the Kwanzaa celebration. And her name was Kenya, African name. So anyway, she got delivered. Great child. Wonderful girl. And so anyway, I mean, it's a couple of bucks. I mean, no one else got anything written on it at all. Nowhere. I done my check, my research before I put it out. So I didn't know you was going to ask me to say anything about it. Oh, really? One that will be coming out shortly. Some of you were here 2 years ago. Absolutely. Oh, and by the way, that was an awesome message today. Woo! Sister Patty, Sister Crystal, make sure I get that tape. Yes, I'm positive it's familiar spirits associated with that. And religious, and yes. Absolutely. And it's nothing in there. And Miranda is very, very open about it. It has, it won't have anything to do with Christianity at all. I mean, point blank. Okay? And so they want to make sure that their doctrines and koans are totally separated from the Christians. In fact, I'll make a chapter in there where he makes a statement against the oppressed race that oppressed him. But anyway, I think you'll find it interesting. And I think if, as ministers, you should at least have it in your notes for whenever you minister. Because in the groups I minister with cross many, many different cultural backgrounds. In a few months, hopefully, in the newsletter, pay particular attention. Everything I have, all my material, is donated here free. Donated to my pastor's church. Donated to Jerry McGee's ministry. I do not charge anything. We live a very tight budget at our home. I look rich because I am rich in Christ. I get these on sale from a friend of mine. He's a deacon, $38.
Okay. So they look rich, you know.
Get these watches from overseas real cheap. When we go on a cruise, $19 for these shoes. But you got to go, I can't think of the name of the store. Marshall's, I think. 11. So, but anyway, we're a prosperous, so we live a real tight budget. My wife said, you just give everything away. So I wrote another book this year, too, and she wouldn't even send this down here. She printed it at the house. I said, oh, Lord. So I'm going back home to talk with her because I came out with the bastard curse before, and Carl called me. I said, Carl, I did one already. But nowhere close to what Carl has. It's just, ooh, that's just awesome. Get that. I'm going to get it myself. And Carl's a real nice guy. Oh, incidentally, some of you may have, oh, my God. Thank you, sir. I wanted that. And some of you may have seen the documentary that was on TV about 3 weeks ago about the children in Romania. They were prostituting them. Homosexuality. A lot of businessmen over there are dating and going out with little boys and girls. And so I think Carl was really touched by God's right on that. I was very happy to see that on TV. And then now to see this. Like I say, Carl just called me 3 weeks ago because he had a prophetic word from the Lord to pray for healing for me. Because all he mentioned in his prayer was strength, strength. And to me that means healing, healing.
And I had just went through 6 weeks of series of MRIs and vascular things and all that. And the best they could find was some Indian witchcraft that caused me to be a little dizzy because I had sinusitis. But anyway,
I was going to tell you that hopefully, for the sake of time, I'm just going to skip around tonight and so we can do some deliverance. I'm going to try to show you something that might help you in your delivery and your techniques at eradicating demonic strongholds. But tonight's message will be on the importance of deliverance. But hopefully in the next 30 to 60 days, there will be a book that comes out from Impact Publishing, Bill Banks, on a deity called the Orisha. And these are the hidden gods of worship, the gods of the Yoruba land from the West Africa that came in during the slavery and have infiltrated many of the churches, many of the secular music and jazz music. For you Christians who say it's okay to listen to jazz, I allude to in that booklet on Santana and several other artists, Dave Matthews and others, that use the Orishas in their music. I Love Lucy. When Dez Arnaz was playing the elongated drums, he was singing Old Baba Louie, which is a deity out of Cuba. So we sat down there on TV for 10 years singing, Old Baba Louie, Baba Louie. We was worshiping the devil. That's what Baba Louie is. Okay, so anyway, we shared about this 2 years ago at the National, the Deliverance Conference, which is by invitation only in October. And it took 12 years to print it, and I just called Bill up a few months ago and said, listen, I can't do anything else on it. So there's a chapter in there on the Willie Lynch curse, which most of you are familiar with the Willie Lynch curse. But God gave it me differently. He gave it to me where the culture, generally when we hear about the Willie Lynch curse, it seems that the Caucasian brother wants to repent for their actions, but we don't, but from the African perspective, we don't have any repentance. And it's our forefathers that sold us out. Nobody went over there and made anybody put us on the ship. And so the biggest hassle we have, like on a job, is that we see an African, American black going up the ladder. We think he's a Tom or something. So the way I wrote it was, well, we repent because of all the paranoia we have within our own ranks. And also did a study on drumming. And drumming comes from the Orisha. That's where they're using drumming for meditation. Somebody, So I did a chapter on drumming as well as original rhythmic stimulation from the drum beat, which is in a lot of the music. So that would be a first, because no one has ever written everything on that, on Orishas, except it came through Lake Hamilton 2 years ago, October. So that's the first. So look for that, and all of the donations will go here. Amen?
All right. Praise the Lord.
Tonight we want to look at the importance of deliverance, and I'd like to begin our text in the book of Exodus, where we find that God is bringing his children, his people out of Egypt, out of captivity. And this was in a very exciting time because the Egyptians began to, and Pharaoh began to pursue God's people, began to chase them down. And God asked Moses to stretch out his hand over the sea and the waters here and came over Pharaoh and the horsemen and his chariots and just totally annihilated the whole group. Now, what we want to focus on in the 15th chapter of Exodus, that was a song that came directly after this great great victory of God over Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And it says here in 15:1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song, unto the Lord spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord. And he had triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider had he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. And I will prepare him an habitation for Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Some translations may have, the Lord is a God of battles. What I would like to emphasize is that one of the attributes of God is that he is a God of war. He loves the war, and he wants us to learn how to war. Last night I mentioned that he teaches our hands to war. I tell you, very early when we got involved in deliverance, my wife was first used. I saw clearly that we were going to war, and I knew then, because of the undisciplined, unqualified life I had before Jesus, that this was going to require that I was totally focused and never deviate in order to meet my full destiny as a soldier of the Lord. I knew instantly of the commission. It's like when I joined the United States Navy. When they cut the hair off, I knew I was in there for 4 years. In the book of Obadiah, I knew I wasn't going anywhere. And that's what kind of attitude it's going to take for you soldiers that God is commissioning to the battle. That's okay. You don't have to know it all, but you have to be one that is teachable. Remember, a know-it-all don't want to know anything else. But God wants you to be teachable and willing to be open to the things that he's going to share with you so he can prepare your ministry. Remember, it's God's ministry. It's not your ministry. It's God's ministry. And God has a work in each one of your lives. And he's raising up the ministry of deliverance. Now, we can go to the moon. We got some ships going to the Mars. We had a tremendous amount of healing ministry for the last 40 years. Now, we have a great move of the understanding about breaking generational curses, excuse me. And prior to that, we had the great revival in our country and around the world with the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the Pentecostal experience in the early 1900s. And now we're coming to a point in our walk right now that God is bringing us into the knowledge of warfare. We are in war. Yes, we're in war in Afghanistan. We're in war in Iraq. But how many know that that's terrorism in the spirit? And God wants to equip us to defeat the terrorists attacking us in the spirit. So we got to learn how to fight. In other words, we can't just be comfortable with what we have. We got to consistently be thirsting and hungering after more righteousness of the Lord so we'll know how to engage the enemy, because our concern should not be just for ourselves, but that our fellow brothers and sisters also can be totally functional, doing the work of God and doing it right. God is on our side. In the book of Obadiah, verse 17, the scripture says, but upon Mount Zion, the church shall be, and I'm speaking prophetically here, shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Now, the house of Jacob here speaks of shall have God's word. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire. When I see the word fire here, I think of God's word. I see Jacob here as Israel, a man that went after the things of God. We should be going after the things of God. And the house of Joseph, a flame. And Joseph speaks of the spirit. The flame speaks of the spirit. And Joseph was a man that walked with integrity. Joseph was a man that was faithful unto the things of God. And Esau for stubble. Well, Esau speaks of the flesh. a man that who lost his appetite, very impulsive and dominated by his appetite. Esau lost his blessings, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and they shall be not any remaining of the house of flesh or house of Esau, for the Lord had spoken it. And I believe this here is a prophetic statement here leading to the church overcoming the flesh. It's also a picture of the church member who chooses to live after the flesh, Esau. Now, one thing in verse 21 that is so clear, when you see the word saviors here, it's with an S. So it is speaking, I believe, to the prophecy of the coming of the deliverance ministry. Now, let me do some clearing up here. We're ministers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and people tend to put a title upon us as being deliverance workers, or we cast out devils, but we just simply do the works that Jesus did. So it's not going to be very, it's going to be very difficult for you to bring that kind of correction to people unless you're pastoring or you're at a local assembly and they understand those truths. Because when people come for help, they're going to leave and say, they're a deliverance minister. But we just regular ministers. We just do everything Jesus they do. Amen. But this is a prophetic part of this part of the full, or this part of the ministry coming forth, which is going to be deliverance for God's people. Deliverance shall come upon the Lord's body, the church, to deliver us from the impulsive appetites of the flesh. The expelling of demons. God wants us to expel evil spirits. Amen? In the book of Mark, the seventh chapter, we see the non-Jewish woman, the Gentile lady that came to Jesus requesting help for her daughter who had some issues there in the brain and the mind, emotional issues. And in the seventh chapter of Mark, verse 25, the scripture says, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit. Unclean spirit. We talked about that a little bit last night. Heard of him and came and fell at Jesus' feet. And the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would expel forth the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus says that unto her, let the children first be filled. Let the children first be filled. She goes on in 28, and she's answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumb. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the demon is gone out of thy daughter. So that is a response by Jesus to this non-Jewish woman who came to Jesus, who asked Jesus for deliverance for her daughter, and Jesus referred to deliverance as the children's bread. I know to some of you, I'm singing to the choir again because this is so simple to you. You say, well, I already know this, but not everyone here knows this tonight, that deliverance was for God's people, that deliverance is for God's people. God offers deliverance to each of his children. There are many that teach that we must clean people up before they can be saved. I remember about 10 years ago, I taught at an assembly, and in that assembly, there were lots of miracles God did. Oh, he did. It's the same place where I tore my jeans. Some of you heard the testimony last night. Others heard it on the tape. And this is the place where I tore my jeans. I remember a person had a bad back or scoliosis or something. The back was reset. I know the person personally because eventually he left that ministry. He was supposed to come train under me for a couple of years. But he ended up having to leave the ministry totally because he came to training. And it hurt me so bad because I told him, I said, that's going to cause a friction between me and the pastor. He said, well, no. I told the pastor. I said, well, I need to talk to him. I said, because you're just supposed to be coming here to train. You want to leave. And so, anyway, so I remember all the things that happened that time of that I spent with those people in ministering to them. And the pastor came over and his wife, and they brought another person over. And I remember ministering there and training them there. And then a year or two ago, I was in some Bible class studies at a Bible institute. And they were doing some role-playing on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And, of course, my friend, the pastor, liked to get involved in role playing. I always sit in the back and be quiet. You know. And during the training course, the teacher instructed us to lead people to the Lord in salvation in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so he ran up there. He wanted to take over. He said, you got this side. Another guy got that side. You know, every time they called me, I said, oh, no. So anyway, after he got through praying and he told them scriptures and to receive Jesus, and the person said, I want to accept Jesus. He said, okay, now I need to get you filled with the Holy Ghost so that you don't have no more demons. I said, man, I said, error. And the teacher just, no problem. I said, oh, my goodness. I said, all this time I spent with this young man, and years back, I know there hadn't been any relationship prior to after that, but he told him, and this is what they're teaching in some of the churches, that after you get saved, I need to pray for you to get filled with the Holy Ghost so that you don't get no more demons. All your demons will go. So I went and got one of Norman Parrish's books. Christians can be demonized but not possessed. And I gave it to him, and 2 days or 2 days later, I think I was going to class Mondays and Thursdays. So the next couple of days, I saw him in class, and he thanked me for it. But when I walked away, I got that eerie feeling like, I'm really going to read this one. So I don't know. So maybe God will work that out. But there are a lot of people who are teaching that, unfortunately. We must allow Jesus to be Lord over every aspect of a person's salvation. Who are we? Who are we as believers to assume that we can clean a person up before they get saved? That makes your office higher and greater than the office of Jesus. That's a very dangerous doctrine. That makes them, that person equal with Jesus. Oh, no. Jesus must be our complete salvation package, our complete healing package, our complete deliverance package, our everything, our all that all, everything. And I see some people from our congregation and people I work with here tonight. God bless y'all. You come in on Saturday and I show you this faithfulness. I think Carla's back there and Ben and others are here tripping. So just God bless y'all. Some workers that just faithful praying for me and my wife and the ministry. And a great many of the conservative theologians affirm categorically that a true believer, being the temple of God, cannot have demons because it's impossible for the Holy Spirit to cohabit the same body with unclean spirits. And others constitute a respectable minority, which is us, assert that Christians can be demonized, but they can't be totally possessed by them. Because a Christian is possessed by who? Jesus. Okay. So, but for those who believe that all the demons leave at the exact moment that a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, then I wish that really was true. If that was true, then we would have any problem at conversion, and Christians wouldn't have any problem with what they have with today, with emotional problems, oppressions, religious deception, phobias, addictions, illnesses, uncontrollable lusts, and the list goes on and on and on. Christians are suffering with, they would have been instantly cured at salvation if that had been the issue. Experience teaches us that a believer, even after our personal experience with Christ, continues to have faced serious physical, emotional, moral, mental, and spiritual problems that have no human explanations or solutions. However, the scriptures clearly illustrate that Jesus did for individuals what he did for individuals that were suffering with emotional problems and infirmities. He simply expelled the demons. He cast out the demons. Amen? In Luke, the fourth chapter, Jesus went into the temple and began to expound the scriptures. And this is where the Lord impressed on my calling many years ago in Luke 4:18. Let me read that scripture to you. Let you set your eyes upon it. Jesus came in and he said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Jesus came to set the captives free. We were all at one time prisoners of war. We were lost. We were blind. That's a term we use, MIAs, which is called missing in action. We were at peace with our enemy. We didn't know it. And this is one of the greatest deceptions of Satan. He doesn't want anyone to know that they are prisoners. He doesn't want them to come to the knowledge of salvation. It's not until a person comes to the knowledge of salvation that they realize that they were a prisoner of Satan. That's the only time they find that out, right? But even after salvation, that doesn't stop Satan from attacking a believer. If Satan doesn't attack the believer after salvation physically, then he's going to try to attack them and mislead them through a doctrinal deception. But Satan doesn't take a hands-off policy because we become believers, because you get filled with the Holy Spirit. God is equipping us so that we can defeat the enemy, so that we can chase down our enemy. So don't be at peace with your enemy. Don't be at peace with any enemy. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, I think Brother Noah spoke on this earlier today. Thank you, Sister Chris. It's starting to happen, too. Matthew, the 12th chapter. Some of you have been crying out for deliverance. You're going to get some deliverance tonight. Praise the Lord. We have warriors in here that are being trained and commissioned by the Lord. So I want to be faithful and give this commission choice to you. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, verse 22, we know the text here that was brought unto Jesus, one that was demonized with a devil or with a demon, blind and dumb. And he healed them insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spoke and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doeth not cast out demons, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out demons, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Jesus clearly tells us that Satan will not cast out Satan. So we can't use, as I mentioned before last evening, that we can't use concoctions and or trade with the enemy and expect to get free. I think Brother Noel mentioned to us today, or if it was yesterday at the men's meeting, that if you trade with the devil, then you're always going to lose. And so there are many people that have had some success prior to salvation because they went to Reverend Dr. Feelgood or Mama Dawkins or something. They went to Louisiana and they gave the voodoo man or the hoodoo man something. But you say, well, my daughter lost a headache. She was having migraines when she was 7 years old. Well, the devil's going to ask for it back. You just don't remember 12 years later when they die of a brain tumor. And so some of us had family members that did this and went and visited the mediums, and the Antichrist spirits just came in. And those familiar spirits just came into those people. And I've ministered to several people that had those experiences, and those are very difficult cases to reach. Very difficult. Now, Jesus is the kingdom of God, and the expelling of evil spirits is no different than when Jesus cast evil spirits out before their eyes today. It is no different. The casting out of evil spirits is a demonstration of the power and the authority of God. And so you've been given that power and you've been given that authority from God to do the very same work. Now, God is going to equip you because you're concerned. You say, well, I want to get involved. I don't know where to go. But God's going to equip you with gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, the gifts of the Holy Spirit flow supernaturally. I'm just put it like this. I just stay open to God. Whatever you want to do, God, at that moment, that's what God does. So I'm not going to say I have a gift of discernment. I noticed that when we started out in the early years, I'm going to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. When we started out in the early years, I met a lot more people than I meet today that all had the gift of discernment. And what they were using that for was to protect themselves because they didn't think so-and-so liked them. God showed me he don't like me. That's not what the discernment is. That's not what the gifts of the Spirit are for. And I hope to maybe put some clarity on what are the gifts of the Spirit for in a few moments. But in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 8, it says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, and to another faith, and the same Spirit to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecies, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Let me just say this also. When two or three are gathered in the name of the Lord is present. Amen? But in many cases, I think you will find that when God ministers to his body, it is a result by the gifts. Okay, so that means that if that is so important, that you should know them. You should know them. You should have it down in your spirit, man. You should know them. You should be able to just tell them. You should know the gifts, all right? So if God's going to minister to his body and you're a minister, then you ought to at least know what they are and what they represent, and you should be able to just call all nine of them right out to them. So God is going to equip you with the necessary gifting to minister to his people. In the casting out of evil spirits, ministering healing to an individual, the Lord is going to equip you with the proper gifts of faith, healing, and miracles, so that you don't just go at the surface spirits that are affecting a person's life, so that you can go at the root. You have to understand when people are communicating to you, when they're sharing with me about their conditions, the Holy Spirit is telling me to go below the leaves, go below the branches. I'm listening for what they're not saying, not that they're doing anything intentionally to try to distract me from what the issue really is. They're just giving what they understand the issues to be. And so we must train ourselves to listen to God and use the experiences that God has given us over the years so that we can listen for what they're not saying. Okay, so therefore, most people that get free usually are quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So they need to say something, but you need to be the one that asks the question, if at all possible. Okay, because the healing is going to be supernatural. But they want to tell you the problem naturally. And so they expect for you to deal with the problem naturally. So, but the healing's got to be supernatural. As people have a big problem, God do quick. Some people have a small problem, God does a long time because they want to throw it out. I remember a couple of incidents I want to share with you concerning the revelation gifts of wisdom and discernment of spirits. There was approximately 40-year-old female that was brought. And while we were ministering to her, the spirits began to manifest. And they were looking at me through the eyes. And they were making these very seductive gestures in the eyes. And the pastor and his wife were sitting there. And they just kept going on and looking and all this like that. And some of you probably recognize that type of behavior. And I asked the Lord, instead of just knowing what it was, I said, well, Lord, what is that? You know, something. Get practice asking the Lord what it is, even if you know. Just practice asking him. And if you make a practice that, you'll be surprised sometime how he might give you a different something to do. And so I made a practice to do that, and I did that. And he said, that's a five-year-old molestation spirit. It's a little girl looking at you. That's not lust of the pastor. And I said, you five-year-old demon, you little girl, you come out of her just like that. And that demon got so mad. And I said, who are you? That demon said, I'm fine. And she had some ritual abuse. And Tamara, I need to talk to you about that too one day. You call me or something, or email me about that. I want to talk to you about some ritual abuse. Not about you, but some more. I want to get some more knowledge on that. And they work more about that. Her and Jerry and them work more with that. Pastor Jerry. But anyway, I'm always trying to equip myself. I don't know what the next battle is going to bring. But I just felt something in my spirit. She said something to me. I walked away. I said, well, Lord, I ain't all that clear on it. I know it, but I'm not all that clear. I thought, he said, well, learn it then. I said, okay, well. Okay. But anyway, this lady got delivered. She moved to the West Coast, and she came back to Houston about 2 years ago. She called me, drove all the way from Houston, came to the church, shook my hand, hugged me, and said she was still doing good. Went back to Houston, hadn't seen her since. Man, that's awesome. But the pastors that brought them still believe, speaking in tongues, the devils all go. Oh, boy. Then I had a service here, I think, about 2 months ago, December, because I just left Lake Hamilton. And one of the young ladies came up, and she collapsed. Her ankle buckled under her like this, and she fell. And I heard some people go, oh. I said, it must be family, because anybody trained won't do that. But warriors is warriors. Okay, but anyway, so I knew it had to be family. Went, oh. So the rest of the family went, oh, and they walked up there, and I prayed for her like that, and I began to pray and rebuke the enemy, and she was all fragile and stuff like that. And then she went to the bathroom, came back, she almost fell out again. And I told Carolyn, when our minister that traveled with me, I said, Carolyn, just sit down right there and keep praying. I went up there, and I kept on talking and ministering and praying for people, and I walked back. I said, God, give me anything care? She said, no, I'm just praying. I said, okay, I come back, and I'm telling you, this is what be happening. Now, Carolyn was ministering to her, but Carolyn was still not like, get away from me, preacher. I'm talking. So when I walk up, she look at me. I said, you got anything? She said, no, I'm not getting anything yet. So anyway, it was a cooperation. And she would have been Jezebelic. I could have never got the word of knowledge from God. And God gave me the word of knowledge, and God said, she's got allergies. She's dizzy. I said, oh, Lord. I said, come here. I walked up, and she like that again. I say, you been treated for allergies or dizzy? Yeah, I went to the doctor, but I ain't took the medication. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. My wife, 10 years ago, they brought in from a prayer meeting. I told them not to stay out there until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, but it's kind of hard to stop when the Holy Ghost goes on. They brought in, and her sister and all brought in the house, and she's on the bed crying and screaming and pain. And I looked at her. I said, well, what's going on here? And they said, well, Jim, we don't know what's going on. I said, what's wrong, honey? She said, I don't know. I just got pain all over me like that. And I just sat on the bed, and I just started praying for her like that, and praying for the Lord. She said, kidney stone. I said, oh, praise the Lord. So, but you got to ask God. You got to ask God. So get in the habit of asking God. For those of you that are desiring deliverance, that part of your desiring deliverance is because God's preparing you for the battle also, because you're going to be working as a soldier. Okay, so much is given, much is required. So you getting much, that means you're going to be required to distribute much. Okay, so if you look at it like this, you know, you'll be surprised how fast and how more aggressive your healing will come and your deliverance will come, because no longer are you interested in what it can do for you, it's what it can do for your neighbor. That was an individual here a few years ago, and they had were manifesting up here in the front, and I came in through the back, and somewhere into the next service, Sister Coffee called me in the back, and I went to the back, and the lady had a terrible migraine headache. She said she doesn't get headaches, but she was screaming. She said, I can't help, I'm just in full manifestation. Well, I saw her up here getting prayed for earlier that day. So that wasn't a big issue. So I knew maybe, I said, well, her demons were just up. The sub is up. and it won't go down. And so I sat down, and Sister Carpenter looked at me. I looked at her, and we just started praying. And then this is what the Lord gave me. Now, I felt very foolish. I'm going to be honest about it. Because here we have our three intelligent people sitting down. Everybody dressed nice. We look pretty normal. And the Lord tell me that her problem is that she watched too much Bewitched. She had a Tabitha spirit. So it didn't make sense to me. Okay? So I said this. I said, ma'am, I say, sometimes I hear things, sometimes I don't. I'm going to try to herb cover myself, you know. So sometimes I'm wrong. I said, but it sounds like the Lord is telling me something about Tabitha from Bewitched. That's my favorite show. That's my Darren. Boy, she called off the little girl name. And she said, I said, well, I wonder what this means. I said, what do you do? She said, I'm a dog trainer. And she said, all of my dogs are disciplined. None of my dogs have any problems. I say, oh, digga digga, no wonder. So we cast out the digga digga demon, and her headache went away. She was using mind control, the demon. Her dogs were the best disciplined dogs. She said, she just looked, she told me this, point blank. Sister Carpenter was there. She said, I'll look at them and they obey me. Digga digga digga. That happened right in the cafeteria there. And that was a word of knowledge from the Lord, because I was, instead of just going in there wanting to fight, come on out, demon, come on. I'm big old brother, me, myself, and I, big Jim, brother. Because I said I was going to listen to the Lord. I'm training to learn. I figure I'll be a part of head another 20 years from now. Okay, but this is new to me. When we first start out, it's all physical. You know, it's just, let's get with it. All night. Okay, so now I'm starting to learn more. I'm watching these elders, you know, I'm watching. So I figure another 20 years, I'll be a little bit more further advanced. Then I still got, I'm going to be chasing them all the way till we go to heaven. Amen. You know, in Mark, the 16th chapter, we all have a commission to do deliverance. So I know you know that. And I know God has given us the agreement that he's commissioned every one of us to the battle. So in Mark 16:17, the scripture says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall expel demons. They shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. People, when I see the word take up serpents in verse 18, this is what I see. Taking, snatching, grabbing. I see a military attitude of warfare. I see the same God of battle in God's people. And one of the attributes of God is he loves the war. So we have to have that same type of attitude. Now, there is healing here mentioned, and it's supernatural healing. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So the question might be, is all sickness and all disease demonic? And all I can tell you is that most of the times when I read the Gospels, I see one overall operation. He healed the sick and many demons left, or he cast out demons and many were healed, with the exception of a couple of cases that are not so clear. But I still don't know if all sicknesses is demonic, but I can tell you this much, that when in doubt, cast it out. I would take the medical names that the doctors give, and I would go after those principalities behind those medical names, and I would continue to work all the way down to the root, and I would go as far as to say I would begin to do the medical studies. I'm not saying spend hundreds of dollars on medical physician desk references. It's a long time since I've been out of the medical field. And but I would look at the symptoms and what the doctors say, and I would do warfare over that. I would cast it out like that. You might consider doing it. I really think you should. Then you think about in chapter 9 of Mark, how important that Jesus, do you think Jesus thought the ministry of deliverance was? You might be kind of wavering out there, and I mentioned to you last night, the greater works, I believe the greater works is doing the very same works that Jesus did. And how can you be in a greater works ministry unless you can do the very same works that Jesus did? So in Mark, the 9th chapter, verse 38, we find that John was answering Jesus after they came back from a tour of duty. They had been sent out on a tour of duty. And John said, Master, we saw one casting out demons in your name, and he followed not us. He was not part of our battalion. So we stopped him because he followed not us. He was not with our little group. And Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which should do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. Now, Jesus continued throughout Galilee, as I mentioned last night, expelling demons from synagogue to synagogue. And Jesus made it very clear to the disciples here that they are not to stop anybody or forbid anyone from casting out evil spirits. Jesus taught that it was a very important part of the ministry. We all have to start somewhere, and perhaps everybody is not going to do it quite like the same. What I mean quite like the same is that some may have a louder voice, like I speak pretty strong, even though I know demons are not deaf. I may anoint with oil, or I may forget to anoint with oil. I may, the Holy Spirit may remind me because they need to see the point of contact and me anointing with oil because they may be somewhat on a borderline of legalist or pharisaical. So to get them over that hump, you might remind me, go ahead and anoint this one with oil. But if you find somebody that's doing something different, like they have a bucket of water here and a bucket of water here, and they stick the person's hand in here, and then they hold the hand and say, come through me, demon, into the bucket, get out of there. Tell them that's wrong. If you see somebody doing something like tell them to drink some purple juice that comes from the Bahamas, tell them they're wrong or get out of there. Okay? But just because they're not doing like, just because I can sit in the chair and just say a few things and the demons get really upset, and that doesn't mean if you're on the floor with them and fighting, if I see that and I'm at your house, then I'm going to sit right next to you on the floor, we're going to fight together. Because a demon wants to see division amongst the ranks. And you're not doing anything wrong. You're just where I was 8 years ago, but I'm not going to tell you that now. I'm just going to sit down and enjoy it with you. I'm just going to enjoy the battle. I'm going to enjoy what you're doing. I'm going to say, yeah, the devil, but you know, get out of there. One time I was up in Chicago, and this guy came and got me and said, man, this your first time here? I said, nah, man, I've been here a few times. Man, look here, boy. I tell you, we're going to manifest. I said, well, I almost got knocked out the balcony last time I was here. But anyway, I had brought some people with my chair in my head. Pow! I said, oh, my God. I almost went out the balcony. And, but anyway, this guy, he was kind of laid back and stuff at the time. And he was trying to tell me, and I found me a little boy. I remember him, a little young man, about 14 or 15, from Canada. And I know he had some strong demon problems, and his demon looked at me and said, oh, yeah, I can take him out. And so I just took my home around and loved him. And they say, for everybody to minister to somebody. So the old guy, he sat right there in front of me. And about the time, the demons were manifesting all over the place. Boy, it was just a wonderful sight. It was better than going to Burger King. And so I felt a guy on the side, and he shrugged like this. I said, wait a minute, my weapons are not caught. I'm not going to fight you. So I see what's going on. I said, I'm in agreement. And God's in agreement with that. I said, but we ain't going to get no flow today. And that guy, he just relaxed. I kept on casting the demons out. But the guy in front of me who wanted to try to get me around him, the demon picked him up and just took him in the air and slammed him on the floor. I said, I watched him go down, but I knew nothing was going to happen to him. You know what I'm saying? I just saw him go down. Boom! He's out! So some people took the demon, a man off of him, whatever. But anyway. Get excited about getting freedom and get excited about God setting his people free. Get excited about it as a place where iron can sharpen iron. Get excited about it as a place where we come and have liberty to discuss and to learn strategies on warfare. But don't get excited about what the demons are doing. Okay? But anyway, we all remember the daughter of Abraham in Luke, the 13th chapter. Luke, the 13th chapter, verse 10. It said that when Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. Now, we're talking about a principality here. Jesus identifies this as a spirit of infirmity, and she was bowed together and could no wise lift herself up. Now, there are a lot of reasons why a person could have this type of condition, a chronic ailment, arthritis, spina bifida, scoliosis, any number of terms that we can find in the medical practice. Field today that would identify this type of infirmity. But Jesus made it very clear that he loosed her from the infirmity. He didn't bind the infirmity. So a lot of times just not having a lot of experience of working around people, we will double bind the spirit in a person. Person that's already bound. So there are times when it's loose only prayer, time when it's bind only prayer, there's time when it's bind and loose only prayer. So you have to kind of be sensitive to that. But the ruler here became a little fault-finding with Jesus because Jesus was setting the captives free. But Jesus made it very clear in verse 16 that ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham whom Satan had bound. So Satan had bound this woman, be loosed these 18 years, or lo, these 18 years, be loosed from the bond on the Sabbath day. Now, that word bond there, Doc taught me several years ago, means a puppet string, like a soul tie. So the enemy was really controlling her, probably her nutrition, controlling her health, controlling her feelings, her emotions when you hurt like that and you're bound. So he had her like a puppet. So something had to be done. It had to be cut. And Jesus loosed the woman from the spirit of infirmity. Tonight is not a message about infirmities, but I think that it's very clear that at the location or the significance in the physical body where there is a significant disease or illness manifesting, we look for the spiritual root. Okay, so you got to look for the spiritual root. Now, as you begin your ministries and deliverance, it's full arm of contact. Let's go, everybody. Cock, load, let's fight. And as you continue to progress, you're not just satisfied with getting the spirit out. You want to know why they were there. You want to learn a little bit more. You become to equip yourself with the knowledge. So you look for the spiritual parallels. One of the teachers I have, it talks about that. The head speaks of authority. Your neck, your submission. Your hands, your ministry. Your feet, your walk. Every part of you, every part. We just open up. Every part of you means something. Okay, so that wherever the significance of the problem or the sickness, and you find the spiritual root in the Bible, because it's all in there. Every condition is in the Bible. So you find the significance in the spirit. In Matthew, the 21st chapter, there's a few more scriptures before we go into deliverance. When Jesus went into the temple of God, remember he had to cast out all those money changers, those people that were still in the poor people's offerings and so forth. This is so important here. Because in Matthew, the 21st chapter, verse 12, it says, and Jesus went into the temple of God. He cast out all them that sold and brought in the temple. He overthrew the tables of the money changers, the seats of them that sold the doves. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Now, it was after he got rid of those money changers and that deception that was going on in the house of prayer that he was able to invite the blind and the lame in. And they came into the temple and he was able to heal them. And I frankly believe there's a lot of healing not taking place because of there's so many other activities that are taking place as the churches have become so commercialized and so full of mega worship numbers and money is so dominant there, and the lust of money is the root of all evil, so he would be present. And that's a pretty powerful strong man, since God said he's the root of all evil. And so until the Lord was able to get that out, then healing couldn't really flow in the body. So we have the same parallel in the physical body. We have covetousness, and if we have selfish and things like that, and I'll have unforgiveness and things like that, then no doubt that it could hinder us from being able to receive our healing from God. Now, there are other things that could be in the house that can hinder us from receiving healing from God. It could have been some ancestral curses, curses that were passed down from the sins of the fathers because of their involvement in Freemasonry or witchcraft. Then there's fornication, rebellion, plain just lack of knowledge. Some have had false salvation or experiences and never got that issue straight. But I think by far what God hates is the issue of idolatry. I just find it all in Corinthians. I find it at the end of 1 John, little children, watch idolatry, turn from idols. And in our homes, many of us have accumulated various religious items and worldly possessions such as statues and other items that may have curses on them. And because they were precious gifts, hand-me-downs from the fathers, we're not going to get rid of this stuff. And sometimes we wear this stuff. And I'm going to tell you, I've seen so many people get delivered by destroying and getting rid of certain idols and images that they have in their home. Now, God warned Israel in Exodus, the 20th chapter, verse 1, of the same practice before they were entering the promised land. And we need to understand that we're entering the promised land, which it speaks of the fullness of Christ, Ephesians, the fullness of Jesus Christ, that we also may have some things in our home that we just hold very precious, okay? Some things that we have that may be a source for the seducing spirits to come and manipulate us or to affect us some kind of way in our spiritual walk with God. In Exodus, the 20th chapter, God says, verse 1, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of bondage, out of Egypt, out of the world, out of the house of bondage. I save you. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. However, I'm showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep, obey my commandments. Now, we have a fad right now. My wife, she really loves to do these type of things, but we don't bring this type of paraphernalia in our homes. There's a big push in our country right now because of our lifestyles are being affected because of the war, because of inflation. So everybody's really into antiques and into the garage sale. And Satan and his people are very clever to place certain items inside these garage sales, certain things that $2 and $4 and $8, and you bring them into your house. So just be careful. You say, well, I got something. It's nothing but a little Buddha, but I prayed over it. It's a book on Mormons, but we laid hands and put the blood on. We pled the blood. Well, leave the blood on. Okay, anyway. But So anyway, you need to be careful. God says run from this stuff like the plague. Get it out of your possessions. If you want freedom, get it out. I've seen people that I've ministered to over the years that had certain items in the house, and that's the affliction that was upon their bodies or minds. And I know some cases specifically. One came down with some type of lung disease in their 40s. My real estate agent and friend handles our real estate, and I was just passing by the office one day and looked behind her on her shelf, and they had she had went to one of those first aid classes. In the old years, they used to wrap the chest up when you had a crush or a broken a bone in the ribs. Nowadays, they don't do that. And I said, I can't believe you do that. After all I done taught you on deliverance, you're going to have this doll back here with this thing. I'm surprised something ain't wrong with your lungs. She said, oh, Jim, oh, Lord, forgive me. No, I just come down with this disease in my lungs. And she came over, and Brother Hall and I prayed for her, my pastor, and she got delivered. I'm serious. This is just so awesome. But you got to get them items out of the house. You got to get them out. Okay, but anyway, in Numbers, the 33rd chapter, there is another reference there. And Brother Noel mentioned to this today about this one. In Numbers, the 33rd chapter, verse 50, the scripture says that, and the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, when you have passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall, the spiritual parallel is coming into salvation and learning to walk in the fullness of Christ thereof, okay? Okay, then you shall drive out, okay? Drive out, expel out the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all of their, this word here in New King, in King James says, pictures. So some of you may have images, okay? And destroy all of their molten images, high places, and quite pluck down all of their high places, and you shall dispossess, which means replace it with my word, the inhabitants of the land, and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. So here very clearly that God has want his people, when they were going into the promised land, he wanted them to be cleared from the inhabitants of those lands and taking on the idolatry that those other nations, all of the nations without question, were involved in abominable practices. They were in every type of thing you could think of. And only God's people were separated from that and were provided cleansing and through the law and through judgments and ordinances that God had given through the law and through the tabernacle fellowship. Now, many of us have far too many images, and we really need to seek the Lord concerning this first commandment. We got too much junk in the house, and it's drawing evil spirits in the house. We had a couple of African things or something when my wife and I first married many years ago, and we were learning about deliverance, and I told her, I think I brought it up. I was kind of very aggressive about those things. And so I said, I think we need to get rid of this stuff here, because I said, I'm not identified with that. I said, that has nothing to do with me. My identity is with Christ Jesus. And she said, you're right. So we took them down and we put them in the fireplace, lit them up, and it wouldn't burn. And we were praying in the spirit, and we put some more fire to it, and all of a sudden that thing let out a scream. Lord, boy, talking about the hair slip on my shoulders. And, oh, yeah. And we had all kind of people coming to our house, and our house is still open to deliverance. I'm ready to fight. Let's war all night. I mean, it's on. I'm ready. I mean, just, you know, whatever. You say, well, you're not afraid you might die early? Yeah, I'm a little concerned about that, but that's okay. God will raise up another. But then we try to rest, and we try to take vacations twice a year now. We didn't do that before. And so we're really enjoying this, what God is doing in these last days. But anyway, I had people come there. One time someone came there, and they spit blood all over my back door and all kind of stuff. I mean, I knew who it was. And the young lady, she's just trying to get help. She made it to the door, and then the demon said, we are many, you know. You got it? She was coming for help, and then all over the door. So no big deal, just wash the door, you know. And the list goes on and on, but that was one young lady had a Ouija board in her home, and she had inoperable scoliosis. They were AG, Assembly of God, so you know they didn't believe in idolatry. They didn't have no kind of stuff in the house. And so when it was told them to do a house cleaning because the daughter back had become to the point where it was inoperable, they kind of buffed at that. And they told a friend of mine, Dempsey, an artist, that we don't have stuff like that in the house and stuff. And she said, well, okay, just do a spring cleaning. And if you find anything, give us a call. If you do, she took them to Deuteronomy 7, 25 and 26, which says, destroy the accursed item and burn it. Or burn it. And so about 2 weeks later, they found something in the blankets. The neighbor came by a year before. They had played with a Ouija board in the Christian house. And the daughter's back had got real bad. And So they found it. They took it outside. They began to burn it, and the daughter's back snapped in place because prayers had already been prayed for the child. And they called Artis, and they began to tell Artis they was excited about the fact that they had found it. And, oh, yes, by the way, while we were burning the Ouija board, our daughter's back snapped in place. And then there have been cases where people have come to us, and they were having knocking ghosts and scratching on the walls. And instead of just ignoring it as being schizophrenia or something like that, I do ask a lot of questions. So you might say I kind of really get into your business and talk to you because I'm trying to help you, you know, root out the problem and get some freedom. But the Lord has given me a great ability to love and forget.
Okay.
Man, easy. Ask my wife. But anyway, we found dolls. People had little dolls in their home, but the dolls would have the wrong kind of configuration. You know, there's a doll that's a wide doll, and there's a doll that really looked like a person. And dolls are dangerous in itself. You have to be careful because they were designed really to be worshipped, and they were associated with Diana and Artemis and a few other people. But so anyway, they had pins in them, and a lot of the voodoo practices used the pins in the dolls. And so in a fit of a rage, that person might just took the pin in the knee and said, my husband, he's just a bad dude, and not even was conscious of what they did. You know, I don't know. But anyway, when they destroyed the dolls, the knocking ghost stopped, and removed a lot of other things. We've seen some problems in people's homes. And so your home should not be a place where books like Jehovah Witness books are located, or Mormon books, positive thinking, and other religious cults are kept, because it's going to bring in spirits of mind control and religious spirits. You don't really need to have that kind of junk. There's enough material here where people have been delivered, have moved into the ministry of restoration and deliverance, already had carried those offices. If you can read their material and use that material to set the captives free that's coming to you for counseling. You don't need to have, you know, all these little pretty books because, you know, it was free. All I had to do was dial 800 number.
Okay.
Now, one thing also that deliverance is no substitution for you practicing crucifying your flesh. You can't cast the flesh out, and you can't crucify a demon. Demons must be cast out, and the flesh must be crucified. So, and deliverance is no substitution for if you want to hold on to a spirit of unforgiveness. You don't want to let the spirit of unforgiveness go, you don't get deliverance. I can't cast out unforgiveness if you don't want to let unforgiveness go. And that goes for any other thing. It's not a substitution for you repenting. You must repent. It's not a substitution for you not being able, not studying and not praying. You must apply these tools to your life. It's your responsibility to do that. Now, deliverance, it's not everything, but it has its part in God's overall plan for you and for those that you're going to minister to. In Matthew, the 28th chapter, Jesus commissions his disciples, and he tells them to do something which is going to affect and has affected our life. In Matthew, the 28th chapter, verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." He's speaking to his disciples, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." I'm going to kind of put a little emphasis there. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So Jesus taught his disciples, and one of the messages that he taught his disciples was expelling demons. Remember, Jesus went through all the city of Galilee, through all the synagogues, doing two things, preaching the gospel and expelling demons. This is so important. Now, his disciples were trained. His disciples were disciples. So his disciples were taught to do the very same thing. And so Jesus taught them to do the very same thing. Jesus told them to teach us to do the very same thing. But why have we stopped? The early church throughout history continued to practice this message along with the rest of the gospel. Then in Luke 10:19, God says, "Behold, I've given you power to tread up over serpents, over scorpions, over all the power of the enemy." He said, "By no means shall anything hurt or harm you." Now, it's very difficult if you're on a team playing volleyball or basketball or football or some type of sport, and all you do is line your people up and y'all just stand up there at attention. And the other team will score all over you. So if you're not the aggressor, there's no ties in this thing. There's no hopefully flip the coin, we even. You either win or you lose. And in the end, we do win. But you need to understand that this ministry God has given us, he said, "I've called you to be a witness." And you can't keep your witness all the time just at home. You're going to have to go past home. You've got to go past your deer. You've got to go past your neighbors. You've got to get out there where the enemy is in Samaria. So you're going to have to condition yourself to realize you're in a war. And in a war, as well as an athletic competition, there's no winner when there's a tie. And in this ministry, there's no tie. You must win through Christ Jesus. So get your, put your hat on and say, we're in a war. Let me start learning how to do this war. Let me start learning what it takes on to win. And that's all you want to be concerned about. Now, as I mentioned a little bit to you last night, when you're in combat, some of us are a little concerned about things we read. I'm going to drop a nugget on you tonight. Because of some of the dangerous writings that have went out in the public in the last 10 years concerning the ministry of demons and how they affect humans, and I'm not going to call any names or allude, I'm not even going to get close to it, but I'm going to tell you this. Some of us have, and I was one of them years ago, read some material who was written by authors that had no competency in deliverance, had no knowledge, were not accountable to anyone, no one was able to speak into their lives, and their whole writings allude to the fact that they were just following God, and werewolves and everything else was eating their lunch. And a lot of people that I know that read those things are dead, crippled, or sick. And that's all I can tell you, and I can tell you this, and I know this for a fact. And I can tell you this, I know it beyond this country, because I got friends in the Caribbean where these people talk, and went over there and talked also. So all I'm saying is that if you're going to buy booklets, and you're going to learn about deliverance, learn about it the way Jesus taught it, learn about it the way he taught the disciples, and learn about it the way the Bible says for us to do it. And don't get caught up in all this superstitious stuff, and they're going to do this and throw you all against the walls and all that. Because I'm telling you that a lot of the deliverances out there is not the same way Jesus said do it. That's all I can tell you. All I can do is tell you what I know, and I'm not at liberty to call out names because people could repent last night, and I owe them a personal apology, right? All I can tell you is some writings like that, and so you just need to know which writings are, you know, scripture and other writings that are just personal experiences by somebody that might have been full of occult practices. Now, when you have some demonic manifestations, remember last night I told you that there is a real violent demon out there, and I believe that his name, one of his names is Evil Power and the other one is Evil Strength, and it can be very, very aggressive, and there may be times when you'll be ministering and you don't have a lot of workers. So in the early years, we didn't have a lot of helpers, and so God had to give us teachers and revelation on how to handle a lot of violent manifestations when there were several people being ministered to, and maybe myself or my wife and I were only ones present. And so we couldn't have people just slamming chairs and falling over the place and biting people and everything. You know, so he told us. So we begin to, now, mind you now, I won't always issue a binding and loosen command against this principality in a general assembly because I want God to do whatever God wants to do, you know. But when if I see it, if it's something we can't contain, then I will immediately respond to that. Okay, so I believe the manifestation is perfectly in order, so I don't have a problem with it. But what I'm saying is that when it happens, I assess the situation. If it's a time where only one is manifesting, we got 100 people out there, then it's a great teaching tool. Okay. But if I got several, it may not be a great teaching tool, so I'll say, my weapons are not carnal, demons. I'm not going to fight you in the flesh tonight. I bind that evil power and I bind that evil strength right now. I just bind you right now in Jesus' name. Every one of you, all that evil power and evil strength, I bind you. So that means that will restrain that power, that principality in that individual, and I begin to try to minister to that individual so that they can cooperate with me as we cast the spirits out. We want to cooperate. We don't want to keep people in manifestation with the demons up. We want that demon to come down so we can get him out. As long as he's up, he's the authority. But God says we're the authority through Christ Jesus. So I need that person to agree with me, and they agree with me to expel that principality. That makes sense? So we don't just like to see them up like that, but when they're up, I mean, you know, you work with what you have, and God gives us discernment, but our ultimate plan is to try to get the person to cooperate with us, and that's what we do. We try to work with them and work with them until they get ready, and then we keep working until they get free. Use your binding and loosen keys. This is so important. Brother Noel mentioned the other day, the first night, about Mary Garrison's book on trying the spirit or testing the spirit. She also has a book called The Binding and Loosen Keys. Very good because she lists the binding commands on what we bind, and she also lists what you loose in a person after you bind. So it's a very good teaching too, and I use it myself. Then in Luke, the 13th chapter, Jesus being confronted by these Pharisees, these religious critics, and they want to take him out so bad. Of course, they want to take you out too, but trust me. The devil can't do everything he wants to do. And so in Luke 13, verse 31, the scripture says that the same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto Jesus, get thee out, depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. Now, I like what Jesus told them. He said, go you and you tell that fox, behold, I'm going to cast out demons. I do cures today, tomorrow, and the third day, and I shall be perfected. Now, Jesus began his ministry expelling spirits.
He continued his ministry in expelling spirits, and he continued to expel spirits until he had taught the disciples and until he had went to the cross. So he made it very clear that it was a very viable part of his ministry, expelling spirits. And he said, go tell the fox, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to heal the sick and kick out devils. Now, this is interesting because he could have told these Pharisees to go give any kind of report. There's a number of things that he could have done. But he wanted them to see very clearly, he wanted us to be able to see scripturally very clearly how important he thought the expelling of evil spirits was. Perhaps we should also place some importance on this ministry. Jesus did. And people, there are going to be many foxes coming against you for believing and practicing the ministry of deliverance. You're not better than Jesus. And as the Lord opens your understanding to the ministry of deliverance, foxes are going to come, but only being Christ-like is going to enable you to endure unto the end, people. So don't become bitter. Don't become, discouraged. Thank you. That's a good word there. And Jesus is our vine because the foxes are definitely coming, and they're a type of evil spirit that fall the vine. And also in Revelation, the 22nd chapter, verse 16, it says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that hear it say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whomsoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Over the years, many have substituted their traditions and their doctrines in place of practice and deliverance. But on the other hand, the Lord is raising up truth, and he's putting it back. That's where you come in. And the thousands that have come before you over the last several years. And God is raising up some God-called men and women, like you, who are going to answer God's call to the ministry. And there's going to be more in years to come. Now, what I'd like to do now is take you through some deliverance. It's going to be a little different than you've heard before. It's because I'm going to intentionally tear down some strongholds and some shields and seals that the demons place over the spirit. And you're going to get a lot of wonderful deliverance. Some of you are going to know instantly you've got major deliverance, but and others over the next few hours and few days, you're going to realize that some terrible strongholds the enemy had over your life have now been removed. But I need you to agree with me. So I'm going to ask that you will go through some renunciation prayers with me as we agree and pray. Amen? So we can tear up some of this handwriting, some of this trash that's been written against us, whether it be ancestral, whether we did it ourselves, but we're going to tear all this stuff up. And we have plenty of time. God gave us a short delivery. And you're warriors, you're trainers, you're being commissioned for the war. God gave us some scriptures tonight to encourage you that you're on the right track. You're in the war. You know what you got to do. So I'm here to encourage you. Let's get with the program. I'm all the way for it. Any way that Lake Hamilton and our staff can help you, we're there for you. Believe that. Just trust that. This is our whole life. We're committed to do what God has called us to do. So I need you to repeat with me that those of you that want to participate, and I certainly hope all of you would like to participate. Amen? Okay. Dear Lord, with honesty of heart and humility of soul and conviction of spirit, do I make this following confession. I've sinned against you. I've disobeyed your word, whether it be through willfulness, ignorance, or curiosity. And I repent of these sins. I ask you to forgive me through the blood of Jesus Christ. But by an act of my will, and in the name of Jesus, I close all those doors which I have opened to Satan. And I now ask you, dear Lord, to help me renounce all these things and cleanse me in body, soul, and spirit in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the following. I renounce the occult. I renounce all witchcraft and magic, both black and white. Just so that the enemy knows what we're talking about here. We're talking about everything. Even back to when we were in grammar school, we were taught
games, occult games, everything that we were involved with. Somebody might be sitting down there saying, I never been near a occult. I never did any witchcraft. Okay. But anyway, there's a lot of things happening from the education and all the way up as we were children. Even in the fourth grade, when somebody reached their hands because they saw it on TV the night before at the fair, the week before, let me read your hand. Oh, you're going to live, you're going to be sick. And they just playing. That's occult practices. So, in case there's somebody here that didn't watch Bill Cosby show and they was doing a seance or something like that, you were participating in that occult practice or whatever. I renounce all seances, all clairvoyance, mediums, contact with familiar spirits, and UFOs. I renounce Ouija boards and all other occult games. I renounce all fortune telling, palm reading, tea leaf reading, crystal balls, tarot, and other card laying, and pendulum. I renounce all astrology and interest in the horoscopes and the signs of the zodiac. I renounce the heresy of reincarnation and all healing groups involved in metaphysics. I renounce all hypnosis, mind reading, mind control, second sight, ESP, EST, and parapsychology. I renounce water witching. Sound like something that the fathers might have done, the forefathers, huh? Levitation, body lifting, table tipping, automatic writing, automatic drawing, automatic composing. We were at the assembly, I was at the assembly. I try to spend as much time as I can around there, not as much as I used to. And there was a man across the street, and I just noticed some abnormal behavior, and then I noticed that he was out with his little piece of wood, witching, and I took it and got it on video. And that's called pendulum. I don't know what's another, rod, something, divination rod. And I took it and I have it on video at the church to show the congregation. This is right across the street from the seminary at the park, and he out there looking for money using divination rod. And so I taped it all on a video camera. Because we all say, oh, it's no big deal, nothing can harm us. And so this is the kind of stuff, and probably Sunday he's going to be at church. So amongst us. And so for those who say we don't need to teach this type of message, it's not necessary, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised when we go place and begin to share the message of deliverance, how so much is uncovered there, and people are just so pleased to know because they really love God and they just didn't know. I renounce astral projection, soul travel, thought projection, and other demonic skills. I renounce all mind control, power of positive thinking, positive control salesmanship, demonic power to impose my will on others. 2 points I want to make. We're doing real good on time. Number one is positive salesmanship. There are many of the car salesmen are taking courses and are getting involved in New Age so that they can try to help you make your decisions. So be careful when you're purchasing cars. Don't just assume that you're so powerful and you go on for a week and don't know why you got headaches. You'll break away from it. You probably won't have no problem with it after that, unless you go back to the car salesman. But it's because they can't hold on forever once they find out that you're a competent person in ministry and all deliverance and love Jesus. But it still can cause a little oppression on your life because of your lack of attentiveness to the warfare. And so a lot of them are being trained. A friend of mine who I work with, a guy I work with, told me that his brother studied this stuff and was real good. I said, he's real good. I said, where he work at? Okay. All right, so another thing is our children, our grandchildren are taken to daycare. Anybody know what happens when they put them to sleep? They do not put children to sleep like they used to do when we were children. When we were children, they had the fans blowing. Now it's music. And it ain't always Christian music. They put babies to sleep with rap music and anything that'll get them to fall asleep. And so they blasting them out in their little rooms and you don't know what's going on in the day. So be aware of that. I renounce all sorcery. Dependence upon talismans, such as the St. Christopher medals, Mary medallions, good luck charms, rabbit's foot, four-leaf clovers, wishbones, potions, and I vow I will destroy any that are on my person or under my control.
I vow will also destroy any idols, any foreign gods, such as Buddhas, Mexican sun gods, signs of the zodiac, dolls, American Indian dolls, voodoo dolls, the Egyptian ark. We found that one caused a lot of kidney problems. Pentagrams or other abominations on my person or under my control. I also renounce all literature I've ever read in any of these fields. And I vow that I will destroy such books in my own possession. I will also destroy any objects, pictures, signs, statues, jewelry, charts, which are on my person or in my house. This is so important. God hates idolatry. He hates this stuff. I'm telling you, the demons use it as a tool to get in there and attack our lives. I can only tell you of the many, many cases of individuals that I have ministered to that had images and things in their home. And it took careful investigation. It took time to talk with these people. And as I said before, most people don't think to tell you these type of things. But I've seen many, many cases of that inside the home, and this has been the reason. All right, in the name of Jesus, I break the following. I break all curses, hexes, spells, jinxes, and vexes, charms placed on me from any occult source. I break all ritual abuse that's been placed upon me. I break the generational curse of incest. I break all curses of illegitimacy 10 generations back from off my family line. I break all bastard curses 10 generations off my family line. In the book, I haven't read my brother's yet, but I indicated that my dad and my mother had me out of wedlock. My dad was a prisoner of war at POW in Korea. When he came out of the war, he married my mother. They didn't hide anything from me. No big deal. We just had an open family. Maybe it was the demons trying to destroy me. All they did was help me. But anyway, I love my mom and daddy. So I'm glad they did tell me, so I knew all my life, but that didn't affect me. It didn't bother me a bit until it was time to study about the bastard curse. Okay. So that means I was conceived in lust. Dad probably had a few drinks. Mama probably had left the party, dance that night because he was a young, girl, whippersnapper. And so I'm conceived in lust. I got the bastard curse on me, right? So they got married after. Well, I wonder how many other people in America that don't know that mama was pregnant before daddy got married. And the scriptures say a bastard cannot enter into the worship of the Lord. So you say, I just can't connect. I'm trying to study. I'm just trying to learn. I can't get into the spirit of God. I've been serving God for 15 years. I just don't understand. Bastard curse. How many others like me? Oh, that is. And guess what? They have the last name in most cases of the mama. And the bastard curse said there'd be no remembrance of the father in a second generation. You find that in Job. And I read that in my little book that I got. So. No big deal. I'm sure Fox got it. Fox is tough. Good man of God. Fine man. But the point was, mine came out of a burden I had when I left the camp in December. I went back to the church. Several people had left the church. And I asked the Lord, I said, what happened? I said, man, I didn't put these people to college, fix their car. I don't know why they left. And said, they had no relationship with their dad. So they couldn't understand your discipline and your love. I said, So God gave me the writing to heal me. Amen. So if you read mine, it's not going to be so intelligent. It's going to be real personal. It's not even here, so I don't know whenever we get here. But that's not the issue. Anything you can get on that is important because I understand now we're having more divorces in the church than in America. And there's a lot of children that are products of incest, rape, adultery, etc. And I was one, thank God. I have a real good mom and daddy. But I didn't get permission from my brothers and sisters to be able to give you an assessment on what happened on the family line. But I can tell you this, all I have was daughters in my last name. No sons. There's no remembrance of me in the second generation. My brother has sons. My sister has daughters. They saved. Everybody saved except my brother. He actually did something, but we believe in God for him to come back. So anyway, that would be an interesting study once I get their permission to add to the booklet. So anyway, look into the bastard curse. I think that's real good. If you don't know, or you can just be in denial. Just don't know. Can't get into the worship of the Lord. Just can't get connected. Somewhere.
Somewhere is there. I know it. I know.
I break the curse of idolatry off my family line. And I renounce any oath I or my ancestors ever made to any false gods, to idols, to false cults, or false religions. I renounce any initiation rites into any clubs, brotherhoods, lodges, fraternities, sororities, or orders which is of a demonic or witchcraft origin. I break all demonic subjection, demonic soul ties, or bondages to my mother, father, grandparents, spouses, ex-spouses, any other human being, living or dead, who's ever dominated me or controlled me in any way contrary to the will of God. I break all demonic subjection to the animals I own, or animals I previously owned, or that my family previously owned. I break the soul ties with those animals. I break all curses of psychic heredity and any demonic hold upon my family line as a result of the disobedience of any of my ancestors, spouse or ex-spouse. I break any curse of physical or mental illness off my family line. I break any curse on me or my family from the occult or any demonic origin. In the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce every cult that denies the blood atonement of Jesus Christ, every philosophy that denies the deity of Jesus Christ. We just cleaned out everything, because some of you may not see you again to the next meeting or a meeting after that or somewhere, but you need to go through this at least one time where a minister of authority speaks and you're in agreement. I know some of you are going to be able to read some of this through the book, but now you know how it goes, what we're doing. Let's deal with unforgiveness. Dear Lord, I confess that I committed the sin of unforgiveness. I've not loved, but I've resented certain people in the past. I confess this is sin. And I call upon you, Lord, to help me forgive them. I do now forgive. Now, if the Holy Spirit bring anyone to your name tonight, this is kind of been on your heart, somebody you need to forgive, you need to quietly just mention that. You need to speak it out, but not so your neighbor can hear, but you need to speak it. It's like confession with the mouth. You need to do that. Take our time to do that. Also, you need to bless them. You need to ask God to bless them. You say, well, I don't know about that part of it. It was going pretty good. You say that. You don't know what that old buzzer did to me. Well, God knows the hurt still lives in you. And Heavenly Father said, you forgive their trespasses, Heavenly Father is going to forgive yours. So it's conditional. And then you get rid of a load of bitterness and hurt when you forgive. You need to forgive. That's Jesus' plan. Paul warned the Corinthian church, be ignorant of not Satan's devices, you know, when it comes to forgiveness. So let's bless them. If in days to come, you show me others, I will forgive them. And I will quickly forgive them. And I will bless them. I forgive myself. In Jesus' name. And that was the hardest one for me. I was very judgmental and critical of myself until one of my elders told me, you don't have a right to judge another man's servant. I said, what are you talking about? I said, no, he said, let me show you in the Bible. He said, you're so hard on yourself. You're just too hard on yourself, Brother Jim. I might go off in seclusion for 3 days fasting or whatever it takes, you know, because I made a mistake or something. So I had unforgiveness against myself. It sounds easy. Just say, well, I forgive myself. But do you really forgive yourself? Get that right with the Father. Now, why don't you stand for a moment? There may be someone here tonight that have heard this message and says, my God, he's talking about all these things, but I don't even have my salvation experience right. So we're going to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ. Jesus loves you, and he wants you. And all he wants you to do is open up your heart and receive him. So I ask that everyone will join with me and repeat, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and arose from the dead. You redeemed me by your blood, and I belong to you. I want to live for you. I confess all of my sins, known and unknown. I'm sorry for them all, and I renounce them all. Now I come to you as my deliverer, Lord Jesus, claiming the promise that whomsoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. You know my special needs, the things that bind, the torments, the things that defiled me, that evil's unclean spirit. I call upon you, Lord Jesus, to deliver me and set me free. And Satan, I renounce you and all of your works, and I loose myself from you in the name of Jesus. And I command you to leave me right now. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come to you sincerely. I have a desire to be free from all curses and their results. I now confess the sins of all of my forefathers. And in the name and by the blood of Jesus Christ, I break and renounce the power of every demonic curse that was passed down to me through the sins and actions of others. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break the power and the hold of every curse that came to me through sin. My sin and the sins of my forefathers. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break the power and the hold of every curse that came to me through words that were spoken. In the name of Jesus, I break the power and the hold of every curse that came to me through disobedience, mine or my forefathers. In the name of Jesus Christ, I now renounce.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.